Reading of the book of Job, chapter 1. I earnestly covet your prayers today. The book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, thank you, Brother John, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. I want to read verse 3 again. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. Now, Job was a great man. And we're all somewhat familiar with the story of Job. How he was a great man, had much wealth and many riches. And the Scripture teaches us that the Lord allowed Satan to come and take all of that away. He lost all of his riches and he lost all of his family. And his wife turned against him. And my friend, his friends sat for 7 days with him without saying a word. And then began to accuse him of great sin to cause this trial and tribulation to come upon his life. And yet the Bible said with all of this, with Job, he sinned not with his lips. And the Bible said that Job said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And blessed be the name of the Lord." Amen. And we find that Job came to the place where he desired to pray and could not get a hold of God. And he said, "Lord, even though I can't find you, I know you're out there somewhere." He said, "I will call sometime. The day will come. The time will come. May not seem like I can get an answer from God now. But I will call. The time will come when I will call and thou wilt answer me." He said, "I know that though it seems like I can't touch God now, that I have not been forsaken." And the Bible says in the end that God did answer him out of the whirlwind. Amen. And God vindicated him, the Bible says, after many days in much time and long suffering. And the Scripture says in the end that Job had twice as many camels, twice as many she-asses, twice as many asses. And my friend again had 7 children or 7 boys and 3 girls. And his girls were the fairest in the land. And that Job's friends were restored unto him in the end. He was an upright man who God offered to Satan to test him. And Job passed every test. Satan could not cause Job to turn against the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And it's certainly been used for many centuries to tell of the blessings of faithfulness to God through every trial and temptation of life. Now, there are many fine topics of study in the book of Job that we could preach on. We could preach today on the patience of Job. James 5 and 11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen of the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and full of tender mercy." Surely we could talk about the patience of Job. These trials didn't all hit in 1 week. I mean, best what Bible scholars can surmise, the trials of Job happened over a period of months, maybe even years, that all these things happened to him. And we see his patience in the midst of them. His wife lost patience. His friends lost patience. But Job never lost his patience. I mean, friend, we could talk about the patience of Job. We could talk about the persecution of Job. Job was attacked by Satan, forsaken by his wife, and condemned wrongly by his friends. We could talk about the persecution
And Job, and the scripture does teach us, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're not being persecuted, if you don't have hard times, if people don't mistreat you sometimes and talk ugly about you because of you doing right, then you're not doing much. Amen. I mean, friend, we could preach about the persecution of Job. We could also preach to you about the perseverance of Job. I mean, Job was a man that persevered. After all, he lost everything, and yet he never sinned with his lips. Amen. After he lost it all, he didn't sin and say, well, there's me. And I'll tell you, God, I'm not doing me like this. But first he said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Now Job cursed the day he was born. He said his troubles were so great, he'd have been better off to never been born. But still, he never cursed God, and he never sinned with his lips, according to the Scriptures. And so surely we can talk about the perseverance of Job. We can talk to you about the purpose of Job today, friend. The purpose of Job. I mean, the purpose is to teach us to be faithful in every trial and in every tribulation of life. And God will always vindicate faithfulness. Amen. I mean, somebody said, oh, we feel sometimes like old Asaph that said in Psalm 73, true to God's good to Israel, even if such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet went away when I slipped. Well, I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, I looked at everybody else that was doing good, and I wasn't doing good, and I thought it wasn't even worthwhile to serve God. But it came down to the end of the chapter, and he said, it is good for me to give thanks unto the Lord. It is good for me to serve my God. I'll tell you, the purpose of Job is to teach us to be found faithful in every trial and tribulation of life, for it to be worth every mile of the trip. Surely it will, surely it will. Surely it'll be worth every mile of the trip. So we can talk about the patience of Job, the persecution of Job, the perseverance of Job, the purpose of Job, or we can preach about the perfection of Job. Amen. Chapter number 1, verse 1 said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And the Bible said that Job was one that was perfect. Oh, what a measurement to say. And now listen, Job's wife didn't say his perfect. And the Job's friends didn't say his perfect. The Bible said his perfect. I mean, that's a high measurement. That's a high measurement. Didn't say he had always been perfect. But at this time in Job's life, Job was a man whose heart was pure. Job was a man whose heart was right with God. Job was a man who practiced what he preached. Amen. We find the Bible saying again, down in verse number 8, the Bible said that Satan had come in the presence of the Lord. Verse 7, and the Lord asked him, where'd you come from? He said, I've been going to and fro throughout the earth and looking for somebody I could devour. And in verse number 8, he said, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? You want somebody to beat up on, devil? Have you thought about beating up Job? Now, my friend, hey, are you close enough to God that when the devil comes before the Lord that he could recommend you to be beat up on and know that you'd be found faithful through it? I mean, could the Lord bring your name up to Satan and say, all right, booger man, try him, test him, put him in tribulation and in testings and in troubles, and I'm certain he won't fail me. How about it, friend? I mean, in your life, are you confident that when the devil comes before the Lord's recommending you for tribulation? I mean, that he's recommending you for trials and for difficulties? That he's telling the devil, oh, if you want to test somebody, test him? Because I'm certain that he'll pass the test. Pretty high mark, ain't it? He said, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth the Lord and escheweth evil? Oh, but Satan said, I've tried him, I've thought about him, but said, does he serve you for naught? Says, you've got a hedge built around him. And the Lord said, well, I'll take down the hedge. You can attack him, but wait and see. He'll not curse me. And of course, Job didn't. The Bible said, after he'd already taken all his possessions, the Bible said that the Lord, or the devil came before the Lord again in chapter number 2. But in chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Bible said, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Now he knew what Job had already been through. Yet he said, have you thought about testing Job some more? You're trying to get somebody to curse me and to curse God. Why don't you try Job again? Now you didn't work successful the first time. Try him again, old devil, and see if you can do anything the second time. Well, he said, listen to what he said about Job. He said, listen, friend. He said, there's none like him in the earth. A perfect and upright man, one that fears God, that eschews evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, though thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. We could talk about Job's perfection today. Well, but we could talk about not only, my friend, the patience of Job, the persecution of Job, the persecution. The fears of Job, the purpose of Job, the perfection of Job. When we could talk about the position of Job. What about Job's position? Well, friend, the Scripture teaches us that if Job teaches us concerning him that even the other wealthy and wise men stated that Job had instructed them and others. Is that not what they said? Old Elihu and them other fellows that they came to sit with him. I believe it was Elihu that said, Job, thou hast instructed others. Now look at thee. In other words, Job, I remember when you was the strongest and the wisest and the best and the brightest. You were the smartest. I remember when you were the greatest. And now you ain't nothing, Job. Look at all your trials. Even those other men who were wise, who were wealthy, who were powerful, who were influential, said that Job was the greatest of them all. How about that? His competitors said, Job, you've been the greatest man. I mean, you've been the greatest teacher. You've been the wisest man. You've been the wealthiest farmer of them all. And now, you're down to nothing. The position of Job. I mean, Job was the greatest of all the men of the East, the Bible says. He was the greatest, according to chapter number 1, verse 3, and the last of the verse, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And yet, my friend, he became the least of all the men of the East, and still he retained his integrity. How about that? We can talk about the patience, the persecution, the perseverance, the purpose, the perfection, the position of Job. But we could talk about today the possessions of Job. And that's what I'm most interested in. The possessions of Job. May I preach to you this morning just a few more minutes on the riches of Job. The riches of Job. Job was a very rich man. Job was a very wealthy man. I mean, I want to spend the rest of the message telling you about his riches. The riches of Job. He was rich, first of all, in fortune. Verse number 3 said his substance was 7,000 sheep, 300 camels, or 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household. So if this man was the greatest of all the men of the East, verse number 10 said, hast thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all the hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Job was a very rich man when it came to his possessions, friend. I mean, he had a great fortune. He had a great fortune. He had a great fortune. Five times the book, in this book, is used the word rich or riches when speaking of Job's fortune. Twice the book speaks of his wealth. In Job 36 and 19, Elihu, one of Job's friends, asked Job, will he esteem thy riches? No, not gold nor all the forces of thy strength. Elihu was a great man with great possessions. But Job had the greatest fortune of all the men of the East. He was a very rich man. He was rich, but he still served God. He was wealthy, but he was perfect and upright. One that feared the Lord and eschewed evil. He was with great possessions, yet he never worshipped his possessions rather than the Lord. You see, my friend, you hadn't got to wear a threadbare suit and drive an old broken down 77-mile Pinto in order to be right with God. Amen? Oh, yes, that's right. Sure it is. Sure it is. I know the scripture said that it's easier for a rich man to get for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to make in the kingdom of God. But he also said, with men these things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. I'll tell you, friend, if your character is such that God can trust you with wealth, you can be a rich man in this life and still serve God. That's right. That's right. You can have success. You can have possessions. You can have wealth in this life and still serve the Lord. I wonder, God, there's a lot more rich folks got saved and give some money to missions and tithe to the church and promote the cause of the gospel. I tell you, that's a blessing to me. It was a blessing to see a man of the position of Job and of the possessions of Job and my friend to have the faith in God that he had. I mean, he was rich in fortune. We'll say Job was a rich man in fortune. Job was a rich man in family. Job was a rich man in family. In family, Brother Charles. Chapter 1, verse number 2 said he was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. The man had 10 kids. If the number of children makes you rich in family, Job was a millionaire. I mean, Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now, like that preacher friend of mine has got 7 children, and my friend another on the way, and he tells the story of the family that come in to see this preacher man, and if they wanted, couldn't have no children, wanted the preacher to anoint them with oil and pray that God would let them have children. And he looked in his desk drawer and didn't have no oil. He called his secretary out, and she said, "We ain't got no oil." He said, "Go to the kitchen, get some cooking oil. Go to the boiler room, get some crude oil. Go somewhere. These folks want some oil, we're going to anoint him with oil." She come running in there with her eyes all bulged out, huffing and puffing, where she's run all over the building and found some 3-in-1 oil. He anointed them with 3-in-1 oil. 9 months later, my friend, she gave birth to 5 healthy set of triplets after being anointed with 3-in-1 oil. And the preacher come in there, and man, he thought she might be upset after having triplets, having been anointed with 3-in-1 oil. Ain't that what you're looking for, Brother Matthew? After being anointed with 3-in-1 oil. And he brought a bigger than normal, a church flyer, to see her in the hospital. And he come on walking in the door. That lady took one look at the preacher and raised her hands and began to rejoice and praise God. And he said, "Honey, I'm so glad to see that you're not mad at me about anointing you with 3-in-1 oil and you having triplets." She said, "Oh no, preacher, I'm not a shouting about you anointing me with 3-in-1 oil and me having triplets. I'm just so thankful to God that you didn't use 10W-40. Well, old Job must have used 10W-40. Because he was a rich man. He had 10 children. And 7 sons and 3 daughters. Amen. Had 10 children, friend. But not only did he have a large family, but I believe he had a Christian family. He had a family of prayer. Chapter number 1, verse number 5 said, "And so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sinned and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according the number of them all, for Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.'" And this did Job continually. Well, I'll tell you something about Job's children, friend. Job's children were so close to God. And my friend, that Job was the kind of man that he appeared not only to pray for his family, but I believe he prayed with his family. His children were so well behaved that he couldn't even think of a sin they'd committed. And he gave offerings just in case. One of them had a secret sin down in their heart that nobody else knew about. I mean, Job was a rich man when it came to his family. Job was a rich man when it came to his family. Just in case that sin in his heart, in their heart, he offered up sacrifice for them. He didn't know of anything they'd done that is a sin. Then wasn't aware of a thing in the world these children had done that hadn't been dealt with for God. But just in case there's something in their hearts, that's a fine family Job had. 7 sons and 3 daughters. I'll tell you, a man without a dime in this world can be rich like Job when it comes to his family. I mean, you hadn't got to have $1 million and a big fine spread and a big ranch to give to your young'uns, or my friend, a bunch of stock or of bonds or mutual funds. And I tell you, friend, you can have riches in your home and in your family by having a Christian home, Nathan. All the world may look on my family in pity and wonder how we struggle along, but their eyes can't see all my riches. Thank God for my Christian home. I'll tell you, I'm rich today in family. I'm not rich in dollars and cents. I'm not rich in fortune and fame, but I am rich when it comes to my family. I'm rich in family. I have a goodly heritage. Hey, man, I'm rich in things you can't see. Hallelujah. Well, that song says, how does it go? It says, I don't have much money and these clothes are not new. And I don't have much. But says, Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters. Though the world may not see, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I have a roof up above me, shoes on my feet. There's food on my table. And there's a good place to sleep. And it says that to the Lord, I said, I have you, Lord, and the fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Hallelujah. You can be rich in family. You can be without a dime and be a rich man in this life if you've got a family that loves God and serves God. Amen. Amen. I don't think Brother Tony minded me telling this. He hadn't always had a Christian family. Didn't grow up in a Christian family. Didn't always know what it's like to have the riches of a Christian home. But for the past year or so, 6 months, whatever it's been, I'll tell you, he's had wealth and he's had riches. And in the past 6 months, they've been without money. And they've been without fortune, but they've not been without riches. Because they've got the riches of a Christian family. I'll tell you, friend, a man's not poor when he's got a family that loves God. A man's not poor when he's got a family that loves God. Oh, yes, that's right. He was rich in fortune. He was rich in family. I want to say he was rich in friends. Ain't that right? I mean, it's what the Scripture says, chapter number 2 and verse number 11 says, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Naamathite, for they made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. Now we give these friends of Job a hard time because they kind of get rough with him for the end of the book. And they forsake him to some degree. But even in trying to be rough on him, Brother Charles, they're not really trying to mistreat Job. They think that Job couldn't be facing what he's facing if he hadn't sinned. And all they really want him to do is repent of whatever it is that they think's wrong with him so he can get rid of all these troubles because they're tired of watching him suffer. I mean, it's really out of mercy that they treat him the way they do. They come and they sit with him. And the Bible said in verse 12, when they lifted up their eyes afar off, they knew him not. They lifted up their voice and wept. I mean, they saw him the shape they was in, and it broke their hearts. I mean, they rejoiced with them that did rejoice, and they wept with them that wept. That's what friends are supposed to be for, according to the Scriptures. I mean, they sat with him, the Bible says. They rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust on their head toward heaven. When Job was burdened, they were burdened. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. They did not have a word of comfort to give. They did not know what to say. But what they did do was while Job was sitting and Job was weeping and Job's heart was heavy, they sat down and said, Job, we don't know what to tell you, but we're here for you. And they said nothing for 7 days. They didn't have an answer to give. They didn't know what to tell him. But they just wanted him to know that, Job, if you want somebody to talk to, I'm here to listen. Ain't that right? And after 7 days, Job said, boys, you might ought to say something. I'm about to go crazy. In so many words. He said, all right, boys, let's hear it. Well, friend, I wonder how in the world a man can be poor when he's got friends like that. The rich is a Job's friends. Mark Twain said, no man's poor who has friends. Hey, man. That's right. I mean, you may not have a whole lot, but if you've got friends, you're a rich man. There's a lot of wealthy people in this world that ain't got no friends. There's a lot of folks with a lot of money. There's a lot of folks with a lot of power. There's a lot of folks with a lot of fame that don't have a friend in this world. But a man's rich if he's got friends. See, money can't buy friends. Money can't buy a Christian family. Money can't buy fellowship with God. But if you've got those things, you're rich. Richer than what money could purchase. Amen. But Charles, if I was to go out here and advertise today that I had $10 million for somebody to come be my friend, they might come as long as I was paying them. When the money ran out, they wouldn't be my friend no more. But I can't buy friends like I've got in this building this morning. That's right. I can't buy friends like that. I can't purchase, Brother Andy. I can't purchase people like you. They don't sell them. It's the Lord that sends them by our way and allows God to have us have fellowship in the Lord together. I'm glad not only has God put me in the family of God, but He's put me in the fellowship of the saints. We are a building of God, the body of Christ. We're fitly framed together in one unit, and we're a part of Him, and He's a part of us, and we're a part of one another. And thank God we're rich if we've got friends. We're rich if we've got friends. Somebody said, I'm tough and I'm big and I can make it on my own. But I tell you, every man needs a friend. And if you're going to have friends, for a man to have friends, you've got to show himself friendly. Job must have been a friendly man. If you're going to have friends, you've got to show yourself friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, surely that's talking about the Lord Jesus. But I want to say there's some Christian friends in this life that'll stick closer to you sometimes than family will. That'll stick closer to you than a brother will. I'll tell you, I've had some friends in the Christian walk with God that's right here in this building today that's been closer to me than a family. Brother John, I never have had a brother in this life. I got two sisters, but I don't have a brother. But God's put in my life many of folks that stick closer to me than a brother ever could. Amen. No man's poor who has friends. No man can be poor who has friends. And Job had friends. Had friends. Throughout the book, these friends turned against him. They attacked him. When it is all said and done, let me show you what kind of friends they were in the end of the book. The Bible says that after it was so, that after these things the Lord had spoken of these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that's right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you seven bullocks and seven rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. That had said all these times, Eliphaz and my friend them others, his two friends had spoke evil against Job. And they'd come to be the friends of Job and then talked ugly to Job. But when it was all said and done and God began to speak, them fellas did walk off and leave and cease to be the friends of Job. But Job, the Bible said, prayed for them and they worshiped together and their friendship was strengthened and restored. I'll tell you, a man's rich when he has friends. A man's rich when he has friends. So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, so far the name of Fight went, and it did according to the Lord as commanded them, and the Lord also accepted Job, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. How about that? Listen to me. Job was rich because he had fortune. He was rich because he had family. He was rich because he had friends. But he was really rich because he had a father. Job was rich because he had a father. The father said about Job in chapter number 1 in verse number 20, verse through verse 22, he says about Job, This is what the story says. It says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped and said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I tell you, my friend, Job was God's favored son. He was one with whom God was well pleased. And the time came when Job lost, my friend, his riches. He lost his fortune. He lost his family. His children were killed. And his wife turned against him. And my friend, and he even lost his friends. And but Job was faithful. And he never lost his father. He lost all the rest. But he never lost his father. And because he was faithful, in the end, all was restored. All of his fortune. Every man gave also him a piece of money and every one an earring. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Somebody said he didn't have quite so many kids. Sure he did. He didn't lose his kids. They just went on to glory. And he had 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. That gave him 20 kids altogether, 10 living and 10 gone on that he'd meet again someday. Thank God. And the Bible says, in the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And after this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons and even 4 generations. And so Job died, being old and full of days. In the end all was restored. I'm preaching about the riches of Job, and I'm closing right now. You may lose all the rest. You may lose fortune. You may lose family. You may lose your friends. But if you'll be faithful to the Father, you're still rich. If you have all the rest of that and you don't have Him, you'll remain poor for everlasting. Church of Laodicea said in Revelation chapter 3, he said they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. But Jesus said, do you not know that you're poor and blind and miserable and naked without me? I tell you, if you've got everything else in the world, you ain't got God, you're a pauper. But if you have to live the rest of your life on a clothesline and eat wind pudding, and you got God, you're a rich man. One guy said, if I lost everything, I still had Him, it'd be all right. There's only one problem with that. You can't lose everything, still have Him. Because if you got Him, you got Him, and everything comes along with Him. And Job thought he lost it all, but he still had the Father. And because of that, he is still rich. The riches of Job. I'm asking you, do you know what it's like to be a rich man? Do you know right now that you are looking at a rich man? The old song says, if I sound like a rich man, that's exactly what I am. Hey, man, don't say that boastfully, but I sure do say it gratefully. If I sound like a rich man, that's what I am. Because of Him, I'm rich in things you can't measure. I'm wealthy in ways you can't see. I've got riches the world can't know about because I've got a Father. Would you stand? You need to come do business with the Lord. You come. The riches of Job. The riches of Job. Rich in fortune, family, friends, and a father. He is a wealthy man. I thank God that I know the same Father and have the same riches. Do you need to come? Do business with the Lord. You come.